All right, I got a text in from Roland Cortez and the Dave's Bayou crew. They're hunting waterfowl on this cold morning up in North Louisiana. Hope everyone in the blind has a safe trip. He says when he lived in the woods in upper, I guess that's, is it Michigan, M-I? Michigan's an abbreviation. He hit a deer with every vehicle he owned, four of them, and one rammed him in the rut. Did your truck look like a doe, maybe? I don't know. Have you, has anyone out there ever hit a deer or other wildlife? Text me, 504-260-1870, and tell me the story. Daryl Carpenter joins us, realscreamers.com. Daryl, you ever had any close encounters or hits with deer crossing the road?
Oh, yeah, Don, several. And look, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but in another lifetime, I was a former beat cop. I mean, I worked for the sheriff's office up here in Baton Rouge, and my God, I've seen some of the damage. I saw one get hit one day, or should I say rammed a vehicle one day, and this was the biggest buck I probably ever laid eyes on. And when I tell you, he opened the side of that car like it was a sardine can, from the front bumper to the rear bumper, just ripped it wide open with his horns.
They do a lot of damage. They crash windshields. They, set off airbags. I'll tell you, one of the really huge collisions I saw was in Alaska when people hit a moose. A lot of times they don't survive, and the moose does, or the moose doesn't, and they do. And they actually have, if you live in Alaska, if you're a resident, you can put your name on a waiting list. And as moose are hit on the roads, they contact whoever's up next on the list to come get the meat. And if you don't answer, then they call the next one. And that's what they do with those moose. But, boy, you talk about damage a truck, a moose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be like hitting a cow. But Don, to change gears on you real quick, you're talking about the freeze coming and the prevention for the boat motors and stuff.
Yeah, I thought that's how our time would be best spent, is getting you to tell us what you do down there to take care of your stuff.
Well, it's not so much down there because, you know, it takes a whole lot to freeze, you know, down on the coast itself because of the water.
Mm-hmm.
But for the people that trailer their boats, well, a lot of people don't realize, too, that, you know, we talk about lower units, but the engine block itself, when that thing is cold and your thermostats are closed, that is a closed-loop system, and if you've used the boat recently, it's going to have water remaining in the head. Look, I'm well into the 60s, into my 60s, and what's always worked for me, and I've never had a cold weather problem, is tarp the rear of the boat. A couple of clothespins or a little bit of rope or something to make you a tent over the engine itself. And then take you one of these shop lights with the little spring handles and clip it to the lower unit with a heat lamp bulb in it. You're basically making a heated tent. It can get as cold as it wants. You're not going to freeze. That engine is not going to freeze in any way, shape, or form if you've still got water trapped in it anywhere. A simple tarp, just like you would if you had a chicken coop. You know, a simple tarp with a heat lamp clamped to the lower unit. You don't have to point it at the boat. The tarp's going to trap the heat, and it will keep it from freezing any at all.
Yep, very good advice. Very good. A lot of times you don't think about that, and it's too late. But, down there along the coast, boy, I don't even remember the last time it got really, really cold down there. Can you remember the coldest you can ever remember?
Last year when it snowed 12 inches.
You did get some freezing down there then.
Yeah, that was a heck of an anomaly, 2 weeks before the snow melted down there.
Yeah, Grand Isle in snow, that's kind of an oxymoron. You don't think of those two things together for sure. Well, Daryl, I guess the thing to talk about is after the weather. I mean, the winds, we're going to have small craft and then gale warnings and then hard freezes. So when all that is past and over, how do you pick up the pieces and get back to fishing?
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to pretty much scout all over again. I mean, you're going to have at least a solid week of nothing but extreme north winds, gale warnings, really cold temperatures. I would imagine you're going to see some increased activity on the side of the road, and that should increase those catches on the side of the road, those deeper pits along LA-1. But once it's over with, first thing you got to be, you know, just be careful when you get on that water until our tide comes back. It's going to be shallow. You're going to run into oyster reefs. You're going to run into sandbars. So know where you're going or proceed cautiously. And, you know, whatever you do, don't leave without a a bucket of dead shrimp. I mean, the sheephead are going to be thick. That's, you know, that's our escape and go-to this time of the year. When all else fails, you go to your sheephead. And other than that, you're just going to, you're going to have to concentrate on intersections and points and bends where you've got deeper holes. And, you know, I mean, you're going to be going a little bit slower this time of the year if you don't know where you're going. So watch your depth finder. Don't just run your GPS. Run it split screen and watch your depth finder. And when you find those deeper holes, you're going to find fish echoes in it because those fish are going to be congregated in those deeper holes. Sometimes it's going to be redfish. Sometimes it's going to be drum. And you're going to find an occasional trout here and there this time of the year.
Yep, a little mixed catch. Nothing wrong with that. Darrell, I got you on my website. Give them the telephone number. Somebody wants to give you a call.
225-937-6288.
All right, stay warm, and thanks for that tip on the tent over the outboard. We appreciate it.
Trust me, I am not leaving the couch once it gets to be about 18, 19 degrees.
There you go. Throw another log on the fireplace. Thank you, Darrell.
Yep.
See you next week. Darrell Carpenter. All right, when we come back, we're going to have Eric Mohabarak with a paddler's report. Mike Gallo, find out if he scored his dough yet. We'll talk to Ryan Lambert on the closing weekend of duck season, as well as Mike Smith on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network, hour number two.